Okay, Hare Krishna, Jai Radha Shama Sundar Ki Jai. We are speaking in English, so anyway, that's good. We have Hungarians back there, English speaking up front here. You speak English? You speak English? Hare Krishna. If you remember, we were speaking about truthfulness sacredness. That's the in word to be using. And let's go back here. And we defined truthfulness as what?
Being in accord to reality in thinking, speaking, and action.
Correct. So being in accord with reality in our words, thought, and actions, which is a more expansive concept of truthfulness, because usually truthfulness is in relationship to what you're saying. But this very good dictionary definition gives a different type of, or more expanded description. And that fits in with the Sanskrit word satyam, which is truth, and it's not just truth that you speak, but at ultimately, param satyam dhimahi. Satyam, truth, is what we're meant to live. Truth is what we're meditating on. Truth is what we worship. And the truth is a person. So being in accord with the reality, truthfulness means that you're actually connected to Krishna, because he is the param satyam. He's the absolute truth. And as soon as as in Bhagavatam says, Ritiritam napratyeta napratyeta chatmani yatha mayo yatha bhasa. As soon as you're not connected to Krishna, then life is untruthful. Whatever you say is untruthful. Just as yesterday, I was listening to a talk. Tamar Krishna Maharaj was asking Prabhupada about cosmology. He said, Prabhupada, do we accept the map as the karmis presented? Prabhupada says, we don't accept anything that they present. Because even though it may be right, it's not truthful because it's disconnected from Krishna. There's no concept of whatever the map shows, how was this created or did it just happen? Anyway, so we went through certain things, and we pointed out that one aspect of truthfulness is to be in connection or in what's the word?
Accord.
In accord with the physical reality of the world within us. How much do we live in harmony with the concept of sustainability? How sustainable are we? And that's a topic we'll discuss also in terms of what type of lifestyle are we here in New Rajadam actually living? Is it truthful? Which means you're living in accord with the reality of what's out there. Or is it an illusion, which is based on what doesn't grow here, what doesn't grow in this season, what doesn't grow in this country, what depends upon an airplane or a ship to get to you? Is that reality? So is the way that we're maintaining ourselves actually truthful? Because if it's not, at a certain point we may wake up to that reality, and it may be a very painful reality. Because all of a sudden we discover, and that's what the world may discover one day, that many people have nothing to eat. because they're based on an entirely artificial system. Okay, but that's for another day. But it's coming. Then, yes, we talked about the different aspects. For instance, our... This has really small, you've got to be an ant to read this. Our profession, our environment, our food, our car, our different types of our general life, how these things relate to the world around us and are ultimately honest. And we took a vote, and that vote was pretty good. We talked also about the reality of different aspects of life, the reality that's the man's laws, or reality with how man functions in society. So are we in harmony with that? Are we in, what's the word again?
Accord.
Are we in accord with the way we're supposed to live? Well, basic thing is, are we even honest? Do we even follow the laws of the land? And of course, we do. Another one is, our one that we pointed out, which devotees were very good at, that was just the earlier one, which was health. Are we in accord with what it means to actually be a healthy person? And then we went into different aspects of lifestyle. And of course, devotees don't smoke and they don't drink. I mean, they don't drink alcohol. They don't eat too much. They don't eat the wrong things. They exercise. They don't take drugs. They work, and they may work a bit too much. But we came to the other point that these are a question that naturally comes up, and this is the question that is the fact that we're not necessarily truthful in our lifestyle, in the way that we speak, in the way that we think, is it our all fault? And we explained that yes and no. Conditioned soul just means you're born with it. You're born into this world with a certain type of karma, and you're born into a certain type of environment, and that's forced on us. So in one sense, we just naturally accept it. Our parents, I don't know, bring us up in some kind of illusory tale, Grimm's fairy tales, or Hansel and Gretel, and this is reality. And we have nothing to say about it. The child doesn't say, well, I don't want to read Grimm's fairy tales. You have to tell me something more spiritual. It's very rare that a child is going to say something like that. So, but that's already there, and that's have its mark. So we don't necessarily have control. And when he says no, we're not to blame, is because in these different ways that you can see here, politics, economy, environment, and even the health. I just did a vlog on smoking. Yes, 600,000 people a year, that 600,000 people a year die from indirect smoke. It's just, you don't smoke. You just live in an environment or work in an environment where people smoke. And you're worried about a couple of terrorists killing a few people in Germany or something. 600,000 people a year. And there's 5 million who die just of smoking, from which government makes a lot of taxes, even though they... I was amazed. I haven't seen a packet of cigarettes for like 50 years. And for that vlog, they stuck a packet of cigarettes in my hand. Devotee went to the shop, dressed in devotee clothes. Can I have a package of cigarettes? I don't know what the shopkeeper, how he reacted to that. And... at first they put it in my hand, and there was this, I didn't know what it was. There was this picture of this woman lying in a hospital bed with tubes coming out of her mouth. And then I looked closely and I saw on spot it says Marlboro on it. I didn't realize it was a package of cigarettes. But despite all that advertisement, there's still 1 billion people are addicted smokers on this planet. So it's forced on you. 600,000 people die of something they don't even want, and they have no say about. So, and of course, when we say politically, we have political system. You can vote for the left, you can vote for the right. Doesn't really matter. In other words, are you getting something that's really honest, that's giving you an honest perspective of life? We have an economy. Everyone knows it's a false economy. It's just a question of, is it going to crash before we die? Or are we going to get through it and be able to enjoy? And environment we talked about, and even the health, even the way we're meant to live, well, that's one example of the smoking. But so many other things. People in the world, even the concept of meat eating. People don't have a realistic picture that meat eating and killing animals are connected. This is just some product that you buy in a shop somewhere, and it's on a shelf. The fruit's on a shelf, the napkins are on the shelf, so many of things are on shelves, you buy it and you cook it. And what to speak of the fact that they don't have anything to say, as we mentioned last time, that there's a larger percentage of chemicals within the food that we eat than there are vitamins and nutritional value. You don't have anything to say about it. That's what's on the shelves. That's what's produced. And you don't have anything to say about the fact that the main sort of demons and people who are controlling our lives are not the politicians. They're not, Opus Dei somewhere off in some Swiss chalet. They're the people like Monsanto and so on who are controlling the seeds from which all the grains and foods come. Anyway, Radhakrishna knows about those things, because ultimately our whole life depends upon seeds. But the seeds that you have may be genetically modified, and they're certainly modified in such a way that they can't reproduce. That means you have to keep buying them all the time. So anyway, we have no say about these things, and we have no say about the food that comes from those. Even here in New Rajadam, we're struggling to get seeds that will produce food that produces seeds that will produce food that produce seeds that produce food. And so that it goes on. It sounds pretty reasonable, but it's not. It's an extremely rare thing to actually have and to be able to have, because even if the world around us collapses, and all right, we've got food, and we can eat, and we can put in a harvest, but what happens 3 years down the road? If you've got no seeds, and if the food that you're eating doesn't produce seeds, then you stop eating, and there's nothing to eat. And unfortunately, that's what's going on. Anyway, but that's a different topic. So, yes, actually, we're very influenced. But on the other hand, we are responsible, and which is yes. And why are we responsible? Because we can make free choices. So we can say, no, I'm not going to take those seeds, and I'm going to do research, and I'm going to pay more money, and I'm going to look for another type of alternative. And that was Srila Prabhupada's idea of New Rajadam, of alternate society, is that we actually provide ourselves and then provide successive generations with a leadership system, an economy, an environment, a lifestyle that's actually in harmony and in accord with reality. It's in accord with the reality of the world. It's in accord with man. Now man just doesn't mean with man's laws, but with Manu, man, from where man came, with the way man was created. And we can make the choice. And therefore, we can get out of this catch-22 situation. So let's just look a little into the different ways in which we're forced to accept a dishonest lifestyle, and in which we're forced into untruthfulness. Okay, here most devotees are here in the workplace, and the workplace is a good workplace. But in the consumer world, just the whole concept of consumerism means it's not reality. In other words, it's not in accord with reality. It's all based on, and the Hungarian word is very good, fölös, I guess, superfluous. Superfluous means those which are beyond what you need. You don't need it anymore. Same word in fölös legás, and superfluous, the same thing. Hungarian, English, it's something that you don't need. So 95% of the world is engaged and going more and more into producing things that are superfluous. That is not in accord with reality. It just doesn't make sense. Well, we don't need this, but we're going to base our whole economy on something that we don't need. And then people are working. So it's the big race. Everyone's got to be a computer expert and a computer programmer and writing web pages and so on. But it's not, and they go in, but is it really connected to reality? Does this have any real value? And is it a sustainable thing? What to speak of when people are in a workplace and they're doing things that are connected to the meat industry, they're doing things that are connected to, for instance, the arms industry. The arms industry is more than just, I'm working in a factory that makes bullets. It's the biggest industry in the world. So it has its tentacles everywhere. And you may be just sitting in some little shop somewhere, manufacturing some little part, but that little part ends up becoming part of a jet fighter in most likely the United States or United Kingdom or these people who make these. So the workplace that we work with is not really in accord with reality. Politicians, I don't have to ask, is it they're forced on us. You don't have any choice between the political system that we have. We have a so-called democratic political system, as if that's the system that works. But it doesn't work. And what to speak of the politicians themselves. No one really thinks, no matter who they vote for, no one thinks that the person they vote for is honest. Does the person who you vote for know what the purpose of life is? Does he know where he's supposed to be leading the people who voted for him? What's life about? Where are they meant to go? The legal system. It's forced on us. We have a legal system. What happens if you kill someone? You go to a lawyer. And what does your lawyer plead in court? Not guilty. The lawyer knows you're guilty of killing. Everyone knows you're guilty of killing, and they say not guilty. So it's very interesting. Every time you see some kind of terror incident, and practically all the time, they all plead not guilty. But what do you mean not guilty? You were there, everyone. So why waste time? Why waste money? You just kill him on the spot. So that's what Maharaj Prickett was going to do. He's not asking Kali, are you guilty or not guilty? He's standing there and seeing what he's doing. Where's the question of guilty or not guilty? But the whole legal system is like that. And even Bhagavatam says that, yes, audacity is accepted as being the truth. In other words, if you can lie better, then you can get away with it. What to speak of, even if just some procedural mistake takes place and they may then let dishonest people out. And, of course, relationships are really not in accord with reality, because we're all conditioned to relate to each other as bodies. So just this whole interaction that you're my friend and you're my husband and you're my father and you're my mother and so on, this is not reality. This is also illusion. And The only people who know this are devotees and maybe some other people who come in contact with Vedic literature. But otherwise, the people are just born into this. Just, you know, children are brainwashed to relate to their own bodies and to relate to the bodies of others. And of course, education, because education is connected to the workplace, the economy. It's connected to our whole lifestyle. And so everyone is educated. And of course, aside from really very obvious things like that everything came from nothing, or that we all evolved from apes, but the whole concept and the methodology of education is also unreal. Its purpose is simply to produce consumers, bricks in a wall in society, and the subjects in which people are taught are not in accord with reality, because the only thing they're in accord with is this body, but they're not in accord with God or the absolute truth. And as a result of that, we become conditioned to certain type of behavior. In other words, when you just accept that a politician is dishonest, well, what can I do about it? Or when you accept and you work within a certain legal system, then your whole vision of life and reality changes. And we become conditioned to certain types of behavior. One is, and we'll just get into this a little later, is that everyone just says what they think. They connect truthfulness to, I'm really honest, I say whatever I think. Well, who? Anyway, we'll get into that. The other is that we're used to speaking lies. We're used to speaking untruths. It's something that we see other people doing, so therefore we also do it. And this is what the legal system is about, is until you're caught and until you're proven guilty, you're innocent. That's the premise. Innocent until proven guilty. Someone kills 50 people, there's 100 witnesses, he's innocent until proven guilty. What kind of stupidity is that? And of course, gossip. Gossip means that whether it's true or not, you've got just a little hold of some topic or subject, and you talk about it. And these now, we're talking about speech, in speech. You'll see all of these are speech. Or we speak half a truth. You did something, someone asks, and you say, yes, but, or you just give as little information as you can, or you admit to as little of the things you do. And the other part is that when you know the truth, in other words, you saw someone beating someone else up, but you don't tell it. And then you also become implicated, and that's also being untruthful or dishonesty. You're not speaking the truth when you know what it is.